Well, the gap at the top of the Premier League is now 7 points, with Arsenal taking a big step towards their first title in 22 years. The Gunners' next test, though, is a Manchester United team fresh from a Derby Day success. It's second versus bottom at the Etihad Stadium, meanwhile, as Manchester City look to get back on track against Wolves. And after a shock home defeat last weekend, Aston Villa head to Tyneside to take on European hopefuls Newcastle. We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. To the Assist in association with freesupertips.com. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm joined by Tom McGarry and Dan Childs to discuss their thoughts and their best bets on the Premier League and EFL fixtures this weekend. Don't forget, of course, as ever, you can interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel, something that Justin Walsh did last week when he said Dan was right about Barnet being favourites for a lot of their games and they have no right to be, lacking in finishers, and that's why XG says gets unrewarded. And our regular, one of our regular listeners, Andy Turner as well, said agree with the comments on Regis Labrisse at Sunderland could be a target for the clubs mentioned in the summer. Make sure you check out as well the freesupertips.com homepage for your daily football hackers and bet builders in the lead up to this weekend's matches. And we'll get straight into it now with the Premier League fixtures in order of importance. Where could we start but with the clash at the Emirates on Sunday afternoon, a 4:30 start for Arsenal against Manchester United. Dan, I'll come to you first, and we'll touch upon Manchester United because that was an impressive win over City last weekend.
Yeah, really impressive. Before the game, I thought they would be competitive. I just think that I'm not convinced still about Carrick being the, you know, the right man for the job. Considering what you know, without going into all the detail, what he did at Middlesbrough. But every manager, you're as good as your players, and they did have some big players back. You know, that have been missing that were at the Africa Cup of Nations, the likes of Mbeumo, Diallo, able to leave. You know, even have Matheus Cunha coming off the bench. I mean, that's a big difference to how, you know, the squad's been pretty threadbare over a lot of recent weeks, and it showed. They had the right tactics for the game. They were aggressive when they needed to be. Didn't matter that they didn't have a great deal of possession, and in the areas that mattered, they were a threat going forward and defended really well. Gave away quite, you know, a few chances. So deserved win, and I think it's gonna set them up quite well at the moment for the rest of the season.
It's interesting, Tom, that Arsenal have managed to get that lead extended despite the fact they've drawn the last couple of matches. And they will have watched that game at Old Trafford last week and know that this will be probably a much tougher test than it might have been 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Arsenal would have watched that and have been delighted at how good Manchester United were beating their direct title rival in Manchester City. But they'll know they'll also be facing this improved, motivated, full of confidence United team this weekend. Like Dan, I was impressed by United against City. I think Michael Carrick did benefit from having some big players returning from injury and from the Africa Cup of Nations, but he couldn't have done any more, could he? And they looked a real threat on the counter-attack. And Arsenal will have to be wary of that. Arsenal had that big game in the Champions League in midweek, a brilliant result away at Inter Milan, but United have had a full week to prepare for this game. That's going to be a theme for them between now and the end of the season, with only the Premier League to focus on. So they'll be fresh, and it'll be interesting to see how Arsenal come into this game after those midweek exertions.
Tom mentioned there, Dan, big win for Arsenal. I have to say, you know, Inter Milan might not be at their best at the moment, but going to the San Siro at any stage and scoring three goals is a boost to confidence, and that's probably what they needed just going into this game.
Yeah, after a couple of Premier League draws. And I just think as well, although everybody's looking at it and they've won six games and they'd near enough kind of qualified anyway, I think that the way the Champions League works this year, there's quite a benefit, not just to top eight, but to finish in like in the top four. It means that further into the competition, you're guaranteed a home leg for the second leg in like round of 16 and quarterfinals. So I think that's feeding into the selections, because you might look at thinking they're pretty certain to be top eight. Why doesn't he rest a load of players? But that's possibly one of the reasons why he's gone really strong there, because it is a risk. You know, you put a strong team out. There's the issues of fatigue. You could pick up a couple of key injuries. You know, when there's so much to play for the rest of the season.
We'll get tipped in a moment, and I'll run you through the prices in a second. But Tom, just a quick word on the title battle at the moment. Is it going to be Arsenal's at the moment? If you were going to put your head on the chopping block, is it likely to hold on, do you think, from here?
They should do, shouldn't they? I mean, because of the near misses they've had in previous seasons, there is just that element of doubt. If this was Manchester City at the top of the table or Liverpool last season at the top of the table, I don't think I would have the same kind of doubts. And I do think they'll go on and win the title, mainly because of the inconsistencies of City and, I suppose, Villa in behind. But they do need to keep picking up results. And this could be a big weekend. If they were to drop points in this game and City and Villa, say, were to win, then that gap would close and the doubts would creep in once more, not just within the club, but also outside voices as well.
Arsenal are 11-20 to win on Sunday. 4:30 kickoff, just to remind you. The draw is 16-5, and Manchester United as big as 5-1 to claim the 3 points. Dan, we'll start with your best bet here. What we're looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Manchester United or draw, double chance. I just think the prices are too swayed towards Arsenal. Would you use 11-20 Arsenal? They were odds on to win the last two games. I know they opened this because of the failures of Villa and City, though it's increased their lead. But you just look at Arsenal's Premier League form, played at home to Liverpool, who they just went there with quite a, you know, containing mindset. Liverpool drew that game 0-0, drew away to Nottingham Forest as well. So two games where they've been odds on, and they've not won them. And I think this is a more dangerous game than either of those two, considering how well United played against Man City. I mentioned, you know, the threats they've got now on the counter attack. You know, being able to choose between Mbeumo and Cunha, and bringing one of them off the bench is set up perfectly. The template how they played against City to sort of sit in and counter, and you've got the ideal man in Bruno Fernandes to kind of receive it and find the key pass to break the lines on the counter attack. I just think it's set up perfectly for him. Now, I do understand that Arsenal away is going to be tougher, quite a bit tougher to get a result than City at home. I recognise that totally, but I just think it's not, the prices are just too skewed the other way. I think it will be. It's a game I wouldn't like to call. So for that reason, I'll just take the value approach and go United or draw, double chance.
Let's forget as well, Tom, Manchester United, granted it was via penalties, but did win in the FA Cup at the Emirates last season. Tempted by that price?
I am. On the complete same thinking as Dan, really. The double chance Man United or draw just really stands out in terms of the value. You mentioned that they knocked Arsenal out of the FA Cup at the Emirates last season. In the reverse league fixture this year, at the start of the campaign, Arsenal won 1-0, but they were fortunate to win that game. United created a number of opportunities. It was an outside by India mistake that ultimately saw Arsenal win the game. So United are capable of raising their game against the Gunners. And like Dan was saying about the prices, if this match was happening last weekend before United had beat City, before Arsenal slipped up at Forest, I could understand these prices, but they don't feel like they've moved or changed reflecting what United did last weekend. So that there is value. I mentioned once more, United are fresh coming into this game after a full week off. Arsenal had to travel to Italy, a big performance, digging in against Inter Milan. So although it's hard, it's Arsenal. They're the league leaders. They probably should win this game in the balance of probability, but the prices for United to avoid defeat are just that bit too tempting.
Okay, well, that is the big game of the week then. 4:30 at the Emirates for Arsenal, Manchester United. Let's move on to the next on our list, and it's a Sunday 2:00 kickoff at St James's Park, where Newcastle will face Aston Villa. Newcastle 10-11 to claim the win here. Villa 14-5, and the draw is 14-5. Some interesting quotes, Tom, from Unai Emery off the back of that defeat to Everton last time out, saying that Villa aren't even a top five side. Is this a little bit of mind games to try and take some of the pressure off, or do we think that he's maybe getting a little bit frustrated at recent performances?
Well, it just seems to be in vogue, doesn't it? Managers need to speak out controversially after matches or before games at press conferences. I mean, he's potentially just trying to take a bit of the pressure off his players after a disappointing result and performance against Everton. Given where Villa are, they should be qualifying for the Champions League. They will expect to qualify for the Champions League internally, I think. Maybe they can't now challenge for the title. But yeah, I think he's just tried to take the pressure off his players. This is a really intriguing game for me. I find it quite difficult to call. Newcastle had that big victory over PSV in the Champions League during the week, and there's been plenty of goals in their home matches of late. There was the 4-3 with Leeds a couple of weeks ago when they scored that late winner, the 3-3 draw with Bournemouth in the FA Cup when they eventually came through on penalties. So I think this could be quite open and entertaining. The reverse meeting was 0-0 at the start of the season, but you know, Villa were struggling for goals at the start of the campaign. They've improved massively since then. And so for me, you have Newcastle who've started to find their own scoring touch. You know, and Visser, Harvey Barnes coming into form. And the six meetings before that 0-0 draw, at least one team has scored three goals in this fixture. There's been a 5-1, a 4-1, a 4-0, a 3-1 in there. So I'm looking at both teams to respond to disappointing results domestically last week. And Newcastle had that goalless draw with Wolves. So I'll be going for over 2.5 goals in the game with both teams scoring. So over 2.5 and both teams to score, which I think offers decent value.
Dan, I mean, we're recording this before Aston Villa face Fenerbahce in the Europa League away from home on Thursday. I wonder what that impact of travelling and having to get back a little bit later will have on Unai Emery's man.
It won't help, will it? I mean, they've handled it quite well so far this season, Villa. I just think that the prices, though, that's been more than factored in with the Newcastle price. I mean, you've got to consider that. Okay, they've had a poor performance last week, Villa, but they are 10 points above Newcastle. But I think with the travel aspect and a little bit of a loss of confidence possibly after the Everton defeat, I wouldn't be going as far as going towards Villa either. I'm actually going to go a little bit opposite to Tom on this one. I just think that with a bit of a lack of confidence with Villa, Newcastle, I think PS3 were a bit sort of tailor-made for them. That they come on to them and there was space to attack. You look at the last two games they played against English teams. They lost 2-0 at home to City in the EFL Cup semi-final first leg. The 0-0 draw at Wolves, which was a pretty dull game, didn't create a lot there. I think Villa will go there, and I think they'll be quite happy, Villa, actually, to go there and compete and maybe take a point. And I don't think they'll be easy to break down. It was a 0-0, the corresponding fixture earlier in the season when they played each other, first game of the season at Villa Park. And I do see quite a tight game, so I'm actually going to go under 2.5 goals at 13 to odds against maybe a 1-1 draw, and that will suit both of us.
Okay, well, that is the top two games covered then in the Premier League this week. Let's head to the Etihad Stadium next for Manchester City Wolves on Saturday, a 3:00 kickoff, a second against bottom here, and City fresh from that shock defeat against Bodo Glimt in the Champions League in midweek, a 5-1 on to claim the victory. It's 10-1 Wolves, and the draw is 6-1. I mean, the performance down at Old Trafford last week was one thing. You could kind of understand it with it being a derby game, Michael Carrick's first match and United being up for it. But then to go to Norway and lose in the manner that they did, there will be some real concerns for Pep Guardiola.
There will be. That was a game they didn't need, really, wasn't it? I mean, to have to lose the derby and then you've got to go up to the north of Norway in freezing conditions in the middle of January on an artificial pitch. That is, you need that like a hole in the head, don't you, after losing the derby. So, I mean, of course, you wouldn't expect them to lose, but they are a decent. It's a tough place to go. They're a good footballing side as well, Bodo, and they've had a very strong home record there for a while. I mean, I watched Spurs regularly. I watched their two games there. They played in the Champions League this year and away in the Europa League last year, got the Europa League semi-final. So it was a tricky game off the back of that. And I just think that now back at home against Wolves, there's just too big a gulf here between the teams to really make a case for Wolves. I get it that they've picked up, four game unbeaten record. That is a big diversion to their form Wolves from earlier in the season. And I get it that City are on a poor run at the moment in the Premier League, but I just think the gulf is just too big here. I think they'll get the job done in some shape or form. I think Wolves is defensive improvement. I respect that, and that's why I'm going to go with to boost the price. City and under 4.5 goals, just at a shade of odds on to get a bit out of it.
You'd be a bit concerned, Tom, about Erling Haaland at the moment. I mean, we've heard Pep Guardiola talk about tiredness recently, and he got taken off with about 15 minutes left to go at Old Trafford, which is unthinkable, really.
Yeah, and he didn't look too happy about it, did he, at the time? He is looking tired, though. There's been such a reliance on him scoring the goals. It was spoken about earlier in the season when he was in blistering form that City need other players to contribute, and now he has dropped off slightly, looks like he needs a rest, and maybe others aren't really picking up the slack as much as Pep Guardiola would like. I mean, like Danny, City should win this game, but the prices for them to win, it's two stacked in their favour. Wolves are in decent form, improved form at five and beaten in all competitions. But yeah, City will win this game. I'm steering clear of that. I'm looking at a goal scorer, and Antoine Semenyo has got two already since joining City from Bournemouth earlier this month. Wasn't eligible to play against Bodo Glimt in the Champions League during the week, so he should be fresh coming in to this game. He's got previously scored against Wolves in the past, and he got an assist in Bournemouth's victory against them earlier this season back in August. So I think refreshed, he's almost certain you would expect to start this game, and he might be key. If someone like Haaland isn't firing, then perhaps he might even be rested for this game, start on the bench then Semenyo to step up to the plate.
Well, next on the agenda is the clash at the London Stadium. It's a 12:30 kickoff, West Ham against Sunderland. And if you'd have said at the start of the season that one team would be around the top eight and the other team looking set for relegation, you might have thought it would be the other way around. And as things are at the moment, the Hammers in desperate need of a win, 6-4 to claim the victory. It's 15-8 Sunderland and the draw 11-5. West Ham did get that win that they craved against Tottenham last week, Tom. I wonder whether that was a one-off or whether they can look to build on that now.
Yeah, it's interesting because they did get through against Queen's Park Rangers in the FA Cup the week before, albeit they needed extra time against the Championship side. But that was a big, big result. It was pretty much must win for West Ham last week against Spurs. And they were able to do that. And I fancy them to follow up in this game. The need for them is much greater than Sunderland's going into this one. Sunderland having a fantastic season, but the majority of that success does come on home soil at the Stadium of Light. Away from home, they've not won since October. It's just two wins in 11 on their travels since returning to the Premier League. So it's there for West Ham. They'll have revenge in their mind a little bit as well, the Hammers, after that really disappointing result against Sunderland on the opening weekend of the season. It's never really a good time to play a newly promoted side on the opening day, but West Ham were almost to the slaughter in that game. So I think there'll be a response. They've got the confidence from that victory last weekend, as I say, because they're in the bottom three and because I've been burnt by Sunderland pretty much every week this season. They pick up results when you don't expect. I'm leaning towards the West Ham draw, no better, as a bit more of a secure option. But I do think this is a game West Ham can and probably should win.
I saw Sunderland beat Crystal Palace last week, and it was a kind of game of two halves. I didn't think they were great in the first half, but they responded really impressively in the second half to pin Palace back. Last time they were in London, though, Dan, they were heavily beaten at Brentford. Is that going to happen again?
I don't think so. No, I don't think they're a team that, you know, that's kind of the outlier, really, isn't it? They don't normally get heavily beaten. They, you know, played the fantastic result at Chelsea earlier in the season. Even with Africa Cup of Nations players missing, they've gone and got a draw at Brighton, a 0-0, a 1-1 at Spurs, went to Everton recently, didn't they, and got through in the FA Cup. So I still think they're a really decent side. Nearly got, almost got double the amount of points of West Ham, 33 Sunderland, 17 West Ham. Now, with the prices here, I do respect West Ham's. I think they'd win this run that they've had. They were playing quite well in quite a few of them games and were a bit unlucky. Even the Nottingham Forest defeat, I thought they were a better side for a large part of that game. So, and I do think that the new forwards they've got in, Castellanos and Pablo Felipe, have made a difference for West Ham. If you offered me, if these two, the prices were even between the two of them, I might be tempted to go with West Ham, but the markets have moved enough for me to make West Ham favourites. I've just mentioned how tough Sunderland are to play against, the points difference between the teams. I'm just going to sit on the fence and go with a draw.
Okay, well, fifth game on the agenda for us is the clash at Turf Moor, as Burnley look to build on their draw at Liverpool last week when they play host to Tottenham in a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Burnley 13-5, the draw 5-2, and Spurs 21-20. Dan, big, big win, not only for Spurs, but for Thomas Frank in midweek against Borussia Dortmund. It's looked to prolong his stay in charge of Spurs. Can he build on that now?
I'm not so sure in terms of the sort of the medium. He might get through a couple more weeks. So February, doesn't look good. Or you look at the Premier League fixtures in February, they've got Newcastle, Man City at home, Newcastle at home, Arsenal at home, and Man United away in there. That's the four February fixtures. So given the injury Spurs have got, the downside out of that win against Dortmund was that Bergvall is now apparently out for 2 to 3 months. So that's a massive blow. They are going to have some players available that were ineligible. Conor Gallagher, Matisse Tell, Bissouma, Dragusin, Van der Ven were suspended. So the squad's going to be thicker. But I just think that you're probably going to have to rest a few players. Got Frankfurt coming up next week. That's a massive game. The performance against Dortmund, I've got to say, the pressure they were under and the lack of players, they were very, very good. First half, won the game, were aggressive on the press, deservedly won the game against a good side. So I'll give a lot of respect there for Thomas Frank to get that performance out of them. But Burnley had a free week, got a great draw, didn't they, against Liverpool last weekend. I think they'll probably be relegated, but won't be an easy game for Spurs. So to cut a long story short, I'm going to tight game, going to go with a draw.
Okay, Tom, Tottenham, we probably were expecting to sit here earlier in the week and say, oh, they're looking for a new manager, because it did look like Thomas Frank was on the verge, and most people probably expected them to be turned over by Borussia Dortmund in midweek. There's maybe a thought here that, you know, they may be putting all their eggs in the European basket again, a little bit like last season, where if they can get through, it will be huge. But they have got to focus now on improving in the Premier League.
Yeah, I don't think they're really in a position, are they, to pick and choose which games they need to focus on. They've just got to try and win every game and be as positive as possible. Certainly from Thomas Frank's perspective, if he wants to stay in the job for the medium to long term. This is a difficult banana skin game away to a Burnley side who have been difficult to beat, haven't they? They've dug in over recent weeks, points against Manchester United and Liverpool. They're not scoring that many goals now, Burnley. They were scoring quite a few at the start of the season, but those have dried up. Looking at their XG in their last three league games, 0.4 against Liverpool, 0.24 against United, even though they scored twice, and 0.3 against Brighton. So I think Scott Parker's got his side set up, particularly when they face the bigger teams, to defend and try and absorb pressure. We know Spurs aren't that expansive under Thomas Frank. Yeah, they were good, weren't they, against Borussia Dortmund? Did a good value for the victory, but they benefited from the red card, and there was an element of luck to the goals they scored as well, particularly that Dominic Solanke one, the way it bounced in, three touches off different feet, and then ended up in the bottom corner. So the rubber of the green was with Spurs in midweek. This might be a tough, tight, tense affair. Spurs can win it. I think all results are on the table coming into this game, but it's kind of got the last on match of the day vibes. They're going for under 2.5 goals.
Well, we shall see whether that turns out to be the case or not. Five more games left to go in the Premier League. But firstly, just to mark your card to check out the January free bet offers that are on racingpost.com. Look for the all offers section on the homepage and find out what is available for you this week. On to match number 6 now, and it is a clash at Selhurst Park as Crystal Palace take on Chelsea at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Palace 13-5. It's 14-5 the draw and 19-20 Chelsea. If you didn't think things could get much worse for Palace after what happened last week with Mark Gay and Oliver Glasner, Tom, we've had Jean-Philippe Mateta come out this week and say, I won't be signing a new contract and probably be leaving at the end of the season. It's such a tricky one because, you know, if you're in Europe, it's not uncommon for a manager to say, oh, I'm going to be leaving at the end of the season, everything carries on as it was. But in England, it's just very rare. And in almost talk at the moment that would Palace be better bringing somebody else in?
Well, quite possibly. I feel really sorry for Crystal Palace supporters. They're in the high of the FA Cup victory back in May. And it feels like, you know, they've won the Community Shield, they've been playing in Europe, got through to knockout stages. But it feels like it's been a decline since then. They lost Eze in the summer. Yeah, he's gone. Glasner's announced he's leaving. And now Mateta, who's probably only kicked his last ball for the club. It feels a bit of a mess. And what do Palace do domestically, certainly between now and the end of the season? They're not going to go down, but it just feels like they're meandering. It's going to peter out and they're going to be sitting in the bottom half of the table when it was a season that potentially promised so much more at the start of the campaign. And this is going to be difficult with all that negativity surrounding them. Yes, they've had 8 days to prepare for this game. Chelsea were in midweek action, but I can't see anything other than Chelsea grinding out a victory in this game. They have a really good record against Palace. The last three meetings have been drawn, but they had won 14 in a row, Chelsea, before that. So they have a bit of a number over the Eagles. And, you know, Liam Rossini's ground out a victory against Brentford. They ground out that victory against Paphos in midweek in the Champions League. I'm looking at along similar lines, to Chelsea to win an under 2.5 goals, which offers really good value, actually. I just can't see where Palace's next win is going to come from, particularly if they don't have the attacking firepower available to them that Mateta provides.
Before we get your best bet, Dan, on this game, put yourself in Steve Parrish's shoes for now. And would you be tempted to bring in a manager now and give him a good few games towards the end of the season, as Tom says, knowing already that you're not going to get relegated, and prime him and get him in a position ready for next season? Or do you think that Palace maybe owe it to Glasner to see out the rest of the season?
Well, where I would take issue there is I don't think they are absolutely certain not to get relegated. It sounds a lot, 11 points, but it's 11 points to West Ham. If West Ham have just had a great result, if they pick up a couple of wins, I mean, Palace got 2 points from the last 7 Premier League games, and that was probably through a less turbulent time than they're probably facing coming up, with losing Gerhi, Mateta coming out saying he wants to leave, Glasner saying he's going to leave. I mean, if you've got this Chelsea game, you've got a couple of away games, Forest and Brighton away afterwards, I don't think they are completely safe. It could be that there's often a team that can drop like a stone towards the end of the season. They've still got the Conference League games as well. That could affect them as well. Two of those matches to play in February. So I think they've got to be careful. They just have to decide whether they think Glasner is the best man to get the points between now and the end of the season, or somebody else. But I certainly don't think you can just look at it as almost like an experimental phase, get some of you bedded in. I think there's more at stake than that. I think this game, Chelsea haven't been great, to be honest, performance-wise, since Rosinha's come in. Sars, Palace, and that's going to boost them back from the Africa Cup of Nations, key player for them. But I just think the morale there at the moment, the run they've been on, the Macclesfield defeat as well factored in there. I thought the prices would have moved more, to be honest, Chelsea to win.
Okay, up next, it is the GTEC Community Stadium, Brentford, Nottingham Forest, also a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, because we're recording this, of course, prior to Nottingham Forest also being a European action on Thursday night. Brentford 10-11 here to claim the victory. Forest 31-10, and the draw is 5-2. Brentford have looked so good at home this season. Dan, are they going to collect another home victory here?
I'm not sure they will. I mean, this is one where if you look at the league table and you just look at the prices, you think, yeah, Brentford are a great bet. But I don't actually think there's a big difference between the teams. I just think Forest have had a below-par season to this point, and Brentford have had an above-par season. I think it'll be quite an even game. Forest are sort of on the up a little bit again now. Dug out that really important win against West Ham, then a great point against Arsenal. So they're sort of like back on the up again. Brentford had the disappointment of losing at Chelsea, where they played well for quite long periods, but still lost the game, an important game for them. And I just think that because I think it'll be an even game, Forest's odds for me on the draw no bet, I'll be more willing to go with that. I think there's a little bit of value in that, Forest on the draw no bet.
I mean, Tom, looking at it, just in the raw details of how they've played this season, you would say that Brentford are a better side, but certainly looking at the paper of the squads, then there's probably not much between these two teams.
No, there probably isn't. You'd argue Forest have a better squad, and I watched them on the opening weekend of the season. Forest beat Brentford 3-1 at the City Ground, and I thought they were brilliant. I thought Brentford were doomed at that point already. I mean, there was so much doom and gloom surrounding Brentford, Keith Andrews' appointment, losing Thomas Frank and a number of key players. But they've done fabulously since then, and it's been their home record that has really got them driven up the table. Only the top three, Arsenal, City and Villa, have a better home record than Brentford this season in the league. They've won 7 of their 11 matches at the GTEC, losing just once. And yeah, I think they are a team on home soil that are better than Nottingham Forest, and they can win this game. Dan mentioned Forest, they've had a couple of decent results in the league, beating West Ham, the draw with Arsenal, but I've still not been completely convinced by their performances, particularly in that West Ham game. They lost to Wrexham on penalties in the FA Cup in between that and their form prior to the West Ham match was poor. They lost four in a row in the league. So for me, I know the prices are slightly skewed in Brentford's favour, but I do think there's a reason for that and they'll win the game.
Okay, three more games left to go. It's to the South Coast next, and it's a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Bournemouth against Liverpool. Bournemouth 11-4 here. The draw 14-5, and Liverpool 9-10. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. Big result, not just for Liverpool, a little bit like we said with Tottenham earlier on, but also for the manager. Arne Slot came under what I thought was a slightly harsh bit of criticism last week for the draw against Burnley, and Liverpool responded with a really good and impressive performance against Marseille.
Yeah, a really difficult place to go, the Velodrome, and Liverpool created numerous opportunities there, and in the end ran out comfortable winners. It was a professional away European performance from Liverpool. This will be another difficult away trip though to Bournemouth. Liverpool, they have 13 games unbeaten now after that Marseille victory, but I can't think of more than that game against Marseille where they've actually looked convincing. They've had to grind out draws. They've nicked victories where they perhaps haven't quite been at their best. So there's still question marks about our Liverpool getting back to the team that they were last season. They've picked up four draws in their last six games, the only exceptions being the Marseille result and against Barnsley in the FA Cup. Bournemouth have drawn six of their last nine as well. So that steers me towards the draw, but I do think Liverpool can grind out the result. They've won their last six against the Cherries, including a 4-2 at the start of the season on the opening night of the Premier League season. Both Bournemouth's goals that night were scored by Semenyo, who's, of course, no longer there. So I think Liverpool can get another victory. And I'm quite intrigued by Liverpool to win by one goal, which offers decent value. I just think, you know, it might be a 1-0. It could be a 3-2. It usually is quite entertaining when Bournemouth are involved. But I think Liverpool will just about have the edge.
I wonder, Dan, whether this might be a kind of pivotal moment for Bournemouth with Semenyo leaving and, of course, talk this week as well about Iraola's future as well. How will they respond to that?
I think they're responding quite well. I was concerned about how they react to Semenyo going. Obviously, he had the send-off performance where he got the winning goal against Spurs. So I was very interested to watch them against Brighton, and I thought they played quite well. Took the game to Brighton, you know, had chances to go further in front, and then conceded to an absolute wonder goal, didn't they, towards the end. So I was quite impressed by their performance, how they handled that game. Brighton team that were in form as well going into it. So for that reason, and the reason that I'm not fully convinced by Liverpool, I'm going to go with Bournemouth for draw double chance. I think from the Liverpool perspective, I always think you've got to beware with them when they've had one of these big European results. They beat Eintracht Frankfurt 5-1 away, then the weekend went and lost 3-2 at Brentford in a dreadful performance. 1-0 win at home to Real Madrid, and then a few days later lost 3-0 at Manchester City. It's become, you know, it was a little bit of a trend, wasn't it, earlier in the season. And they are, you know, the odds on to beat Burnley in the four draws in a row. You've had odds on to beat Burnley drawn, odds on to beat Leeds drawn, odds on to beat Fulham drawn. I just think it, you know, they're an expensive team to follow at the moment in the Premier League. So I'm going to lay them. Bournemouth for draw double chance.
Two more games left to go, and we start with Liverpool's Merseyside rivals Everton, who host Leeds on Monday night at 8 o'clock kickoff at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. It's 6-4 Everton, 19-10 Leeds, and the draw is 9-4. Everton, an ever confusing team for me when I try and work them out, Dan, because, you know, we've seen the performances of them. They were really poor, I thought, against Sunderland in the FA Cup, got beat there on penalties, and then they pop up with that display against Villa. Away from home to big 3 points. What about this weekend? What are we thinking?
I think I'm going to go with Leeds draw no bet. Not a massively confident selection, but I think the odds against does it for me. I think Everton, they look more comfortable away from home than at home. They're quite a resilient side, well drilled, well structured. At home, when the onus is on them to dictate the play, apart from Grealish, I think they lack. I think they're missing Drewsbury Hall a lot for another bit of, get you a goal and a bit of creativity. I just think that they don't look comfortable in home games. Home record recently has been pretty poor. You know, we all wondered about how they would get on moving on from Goodison. They started quite well, but more recently they're finding it a bit of a struggle. And I think Leeds have been really improving for a while now. I thought the win over Fulham, the outcome late on the goal, it was a really mature performance. I think away from home, well, their away record doesn't look great. They got a draw, away to Liverpool fairly recently. The Sunderland draw that they got, I watched that game. They bossed it for large parts of it. Were really good. Newcastle, they were close to winning, ended up losing 4-3, but still a good performance. So their away performances are improving. I would just edge towards them. Leeds on the draw, no bet.
Yeah, and Everton are going to be without Jack Grealish for a period of time as well through injury. Dan mentioned there the Leeds turnaround, Tom, and you know that defeat. And the way that it was late on against Newcastle, there could have been some concerns about them getting dragged into relegation battle again, but they responded with that really good win against Fulham.
Yeah, absolutely. They were brilliant against Fulham in that second half, deserved to win in the end. And that Newcastle defeat in dramatic fashion is the only loss they've had in 10 games across all competitions. So they have very much found their feet. It's good news for people who are like me, who are fans of managers being given a chance. Daniel Farke has started to prove himself as a Premier League manager. Yeah, Leeds, they probably do offer the value in this game. As has been mentioned, Everton's so hard to predict. They go and win at Villa, but their two league matches at home before that, they only took 1 point from games against Wolves and a Brentford side who were nowhere near as good away from home as they are on their own patch. So I'm steering clear from the result market. I'm looking instead at a familiar face to Everton supporters. They're coming back to haunt them slightly. Dominic Calvert-Lewin to score any time in the match. He's got 8 in his last 10, albeit just one of those has come in his last 4 games, ironically, in the defeat at Newcastle. But he's a real talisman for Leeds at the moment, a focal point to lead the attack. And yeah, I can see him going back to his old club. His first appearance at Hill Dickinson Stadium, of course. And yeah, he might have a very pivotal say in the outcome of proceedings.
We'll go down like a lead balloon in the home front if that does happen. We shall see. The final game on the list this week is the match at Craven Cottage, Fulham Brighton, and Fulham 31-20 here to claim the victory. 7-4 Brighton and 12-5 the draw. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. I've got to give more credit again to Fulham and Marco Silva. I know they lost at Leeds last week in a tight game, but the way that they've sort of turned their season around of late has been really impressive.
Yeah, it has. And they're going to benefit from having their Africa Cup and Asian players returning. Calvin Bassey, Alex Iwobi, Chukwueze as well. Big players for them that can only boost them going into this game. I took a glance at this match to start with and thought that's a really hard game to predict. But if you delve a little bit deeper, Fulham and Brighton's bogey team, they have a really good record against them. They're unbeaten in the 5 Premier League meetings between the sides at Craven Cottage, winning 4 of those. They've only lost 1-11 against them in the Premier League all told. So, yeah, Fulham, I expect them to bounce back from that Leeds defeat. They were unbeaten in 6 before that. And Brighton's away record is not great. Their record in general isn't that fantastic at the moment, going slightly under the radar. Their only victory in their last 9 Premier League games was a home success against Burnley. They've only won twice on the road in the league this season. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of, at first glance, had draw written all over it for me. So I've decided to go Fulham draw, no bet, just in case that proves to be correct. But I do think, you know, those stats kind of suggest that Fulham should win this game.
I mean, Brighton are another strange team, Dan, to try and work out because, I mean, I saw them at City the other week in a draw at the Etihad and thought they played really well. And they followed that up by knocking Manchester United out of the FA Cup. But then, you know, like you mentioned earlier on, they relied on a wonder goal to get a draw at home to Bournemouth.
Yeah, I just think that they're an OK side. If you're a mid-ranking Premier League side, you are going to be inconsistent. Sometimes you're going to be good and pick the result. Other times you won't. I think Fulham also are very similar. They've both been sort of bobbing around that mid part of the table. Last season, there wasn't a lot between them. This season, Fulham have got 1 point above Brighton, 1 position at the moment. I just don't think there is much between the sides. And I don't think... I'm not sure home advantage is worth a great deal to Fulham in this one either. I think Brighton, I mean, that win at Manchester United in the FA Cup shows how well they can play away from home. So I think Tom mentioned there, and part of his summing up, that it could have a draw written. Well, I think it may well have a draw written all over it. I'm just going to go with a draw. Brighton have had nine draws, by the way, in the Premier League this season.
Well, that is the Premier League covered then for this week. Up next, it's your FPL update, and then we'll discuss everything Football League related. Well, it's FPL time again now, and Jamie Philby is standing in this week to give us his best suggestions as to who to select in your fantasy football team in game week 23.
All right, FPL managers, we're back with three players you should consider bringing into your team ahead of game week 23 this weekend. But first, let's recap on last week. Patrick Dorgu top scored with 15 points as Manchester United dispatched noisy neighbours Man City at Old Trafford. However, the key takeaway was the performance of Man United skipper Bruno Fernandes. He ran the show. The Portuguese star recorded 0.3 expected assists and notched 14 defensive contributions as well as 2 bonus points. He's already been transferred in by over 350,000 FPL managers. But on to this week, we're going to start off in defence, and our pick is Mateus Nunes of Manchester City. He missed the Manchester derby through illness, but he'll be back this weekend as City host Wolves at the Etihad. Nunes comes in at 5.5 million and he's owned by 4% of managers. He's the standout pick in defence this week. Next up, our midfield selection is Cole Palmer of Chelsea. The midfield maverick netted a penalty against West London rivals Brentford, notching 9 points. Palmer faces Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park, and the Eagles are winless in 10 outings in all competitions. And it looks increasingly likely that Palace manager Oliver Glasner will leave his post before the end of the season after a disagreement with the board. So, consider Palmer if you want a player with high ceiling against a fragile defence. And finally, our striker pick is Brentford forward Igor Thiago. The Brazilian has netted 16 Premier League goals from an XG of 12.6. This is bettered by only Erling Haaland of Man City. And Igor Thiago will be up against Nottingham Forest, who have lost 4 of their last 6. So, taking a punt on the informed forward seems a shrewd move this weekend.
A big thanks to Jamie. Time to turn our attentions now from FPL to EFL. And before we get Dan's best bets in the Championship, League 1 and League 2, one of the big talking points of this week has been Josh Sargent's future at Norwich. And will it lead to relegation for the Canaries? Well, the striker reportedly sent a text to Philippe Clement the day before their FA Cup clash with Walsall, just saying that he was unavailable for selection. And since then, he's been training with the reserves, despite Norwich, of course, being in and around the relegation zone at the moment. And, you know, it's a big setback for Norwich, Dan, because bearing in mind, obviously, not only the quality that Sargent brings in his goals, but also they seem to be making some progress before under Clement.
Yeah, and they're continuing to, aren't they? I mean, you look at the midweek result, in fact, they've gone and won, 5-0 at West Brom. So Clement there has done a fantastic job. Now Norwich, are still in a sticky situation down there, and they're going to, quite understandably want to keep Sargent. One thing that puts him in a bit of a strong position, that the replacement, Jovan McCammer, who's come in for Sargent when, earlier in the season when he was out, he was out injured. He's been outstanding. He's actually gone ahead of Sargent now in the Norwich goals tally, and he's been absolutely superb, powerful striker, improving all the time. But they'll want them both together. A lot will depend maybe on whether Norwich can get a replacement. It won't just be on, if they get towards the end of the window and they can't get the right guy in, and once the window shuts, they might think, well, he'll get back down to his work. He's got a battle to try and force his way into the USA World Cup squad. So just have to see how it plays out. Either way, I've got a feeling Norwich will stay up.
Eric Ramsey at West Brom off the back of that result as well. You've got a feel for him. 2 games, 2 defeats to Middlesbrough and Norwich. And already the pressure seems to already ramp up on him after just 2 matches. Plenty to play for still, of course, on the Championship at both ends of the table. And time to get now Dan's best bet in the second tier this weekend. What we're looking at here, Dan?
I'm going to go with Birmingham to win at home to Stoke. I'm surprised they're only a shade of odds on. They're very strong at home, had a rare away win in the week when they got a couple of late goals, but a deserved 2-0 win away to Sheffield Wednesday. And it's a good time to play Stoke. Stoke had 9 injuries before their 2-1 loss at home to Middlesbrough. That was on the Wednesday as well, which doesn't help. They've got a day less to prepare for the game. Boson Lawale got sent off towards the end of that game against Middlesbrough, so he's going to be missing as well. I think that looks like they're going to bring a centre-forward in. I don't know if the deal's been done yet, but Milan Schmidt coming in from Go Ahead Eagles. That's going to be a big move for Stoke because they've got a lot of issues up front at the moment. Divin and Mbeumo on loan from Man City has been the latest to get injured there as among their forwards. Mark Robbins talked after the game against Middlesbrough saying his players are going on fumes at the moment. So factor all that in. Birmingham's strong home record. Shade of odds on Birmingham to win that for me.
Okay, it's Blues in the Championship for Dan. Let's have a look then at League One and League Two. Starting off with League One, Dan, who's the selection here?
Yeah, I mean, things can change quickly in football. I'm going to go with Wickham here to beat Peterborough. Peterborough, if you'd have talked this time last week, were the form team in League One, but a lot went wrong for them in their loss at home to Plymouth last weekend. Lost centre-back Tom O'Connor to an injury, Harry Leonard to an injury. Kyoso got sent off. So you've got three first-choice players there, important players. You know, going to be missing now, and it was a really poor performance as well. Quite a departure from what they've been doing recently. Plymouth were well worthy winners there, and now they're going to a Wickham side that, in general, under Michael Duff, they've picked up. Had a bit of a wobble over the sort of winter time, but they're back doing well again. Won the last two league games. Good 2-1 win at Northampton last weekend. I think they'll back that up with a home win against Peterborough.
Okay, so Birmingham and Wickham so far for Dan in the EFL. And last but not least, we'll move to League Two. Who are we looking at here, Dan?
Yeah, going to go with Colchester, shade of odds on to win at home to Fleetwood. Both teams would have been hoping to sort of break into the playoff places, but they're going in different directions, really. Colchester, ninth, unbeaten in five. Fleetwood, down to 15th, 1 point from their last four matches. Injury hit at the moment, Fleetwood. As well, recently sold a top scorer, Ryan Graydon. So they're lacking a bit of, in the attacking areas. I think they're there for the taking, really. And Colchester on a good little run. I think they'll win the game.
Okay, big thanks to Dan then for his EFL selections for this week. Tom's turn now with a Premier League bet builder. And which game are we looking at here, Tom?
Yeah, focusing on the big one, Arsenal against Manchester United.
And it is three selections across the board normally for Tom. Are we looking at three again for this bet builder?
I've gone with four. They can be squashed into three, though, depending on how you want to play. But the first selection, we mentioned it earlier on when we were previewing in the game. Myself and Dan both agreed. Manchester United double chance just offers really, really good value. The way they impressed against Manchester City last time out, they can adopt a similar counter-attacking approach in this game. And they come into it fresh after a week off, whereas Arsenal, of course, with the Champions League away into Milan the week.
Okay, and what is leg two of the bet builder?
Leg two, so I'll do it as these can be two separate legs or you can combine them. I was looking at shots for both teams, over 13.5 for Arsenal, over 9.5 for Manchester United. As I say, you can combine them as a collective. Manchester United have had the most shots in the Premier League this season, 362. That's more than 16 per game. Arsenal are third on that list with 328. Liverpool, incidentally, are between the pair, but Arsenal averaging nearly 15 per match. So I think there'll be plenty of shots fired off from both sides.
We're expecting an entertaining game at the Emirates in terms of shots on goal. And what's the final leg of the bet builder, Tom?
Yeah, the shots theme is continuing. Going for an individual player for this last leg. Harry Maguire to have over 0.5 shots. He had that header early in the Manchester derby that hit the crossbar last weekend. Seems to be back in favour now under Michael Carrick, and he's such a threat from set pieces. I know Arsenal are so good from set pieces, but Harry Maguire, you feel he's going to get an opportunity on goal from a corner or a free kick at some point, and he offers plenty of value to have just one shot.
Okay, well, that is Tom's bet builder then for the big Premier League game on Sunday, Arsenal against Manchester United at 4:30 at the Emirates. Time now for this week's assist treble, the selection from each of us. And Dan, we'll start with your selection first for the treble.
I'm going to go with MK Dons to win at home to Shrewsbury in League Two. I saw around 4-6 for MK Dons here. To me, they should be quite a bit shorter. I mean, they've been up prominent for most of the season. Great 2-0 win at Accrington last weekend. They're really in form. Couple of debuts had in that game, Ben Wiles and Curtis Nelson. I mean, their budget, MK, for the level. To bring in Ben Wiles from Huddersfield, Curtis Nelson from Derby, that is two serious signings for them. And Shrewsbury got a big 1-0 win last weekend in their relegation battle against Harrogate, who went down to 10 men during the game. But they've been poor for most of the season. This is way, way tougher. 6 points from 12 away games this season. Don't see them increasing that total, MK.
Okay, MK Dons and for Dan. Tom, who's your selection for the assist treble?
Yeah, I've gone in League One and I fancy the league leaders, Cardiff, to get a home victory against Stockport. They're beaten in six, the Bluebirds, and they've got a fantastic home record. They've won 11 of their 13 matches at the Cardiff City Stadium in the league this season. Stockport are one of the sides looking to hunt them down, and they've had a little uplift. They've won three on the bounce across all competitions, but all three of those games were at home. They failed to score in their last two away matches, and this is the most difficult away game they'll face in the league all season. I think Cardiff has been a really hard to predict League One, hasn't it? It's so close, but you just feel like Cardiff are starting to pull away now, and they'll probably go on and win the league, I would suggest, quite comfortably. And yeah, I fancy them to beat Stockport.
Hey, well, I'm going to stick with the EFL and I'm going dropping down into League Two for Cambridge to beat Tranmere at 3-4. I bat the U's last week in the assist treble and they obliged with a 2-1 win at Fleetwood, and that now means that they're unbeaten in 11 in the league. They're now just 2 points outside the automatic promotion places, and the last time they lost at the Abbey Stadium in League Two was back on September the 6th. Tranmere go into this clash having won just one of the last four, and they've suffered back-to-back defeats as well to Walsall and Bromley. So I think Cambridge will be too strong for Rovers, and I'm going with them as my assisted treble selection. And the treble, just to remind you, is MK Dons, Cardiff and Cambridge. And we'll conclude this week's show with the nap of the week from both Dan and Tom. And Tom, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm sticking in League One. I'm going with Inform Plymouth to win at home against Luton. They're odds against to do so. And I'm really pleased with Tom Cleverley. He's, again, a manager that has been given time when the pressure was on him. He's started to turn things around. They've only lost one of their last eight league games, Plymouth. And no, they're even looking up towards the playoff positions now. Certainly, if they can win this game, they'd move to within 3 points of Luton, who've lost three of their last four away matches in the league. So they're not the best travellers, Jack Wilshere's side. And in the battle of the two former England midfielders, I'm going to go with Tom Cleverley's Plymouth to get the victory.
I'm not sure you'd have believed a few years ago Tom Cleverley and Jack Wilshere have been battling it out as managers. So it is Plymouth for Tom. Who's your nap of the week, Dan?
Yeah, going to go Wickham to the odds against to win at home to Peterborough. Very strong team at home, Wickham. 24 points from 13 home games. They're going to be thinking they can push in to, you know, towards those playoff places. And I think they've got a big chance against Peterborough, and a big drop-off in performance when they lost 1-0 at home to Plymouth last weekend.
Big thanks to both Dan and Tom for all their input as ever this week on the assist. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Another episode of the Euro Assist will be back on Monday with the final round, of course, of matches from the league format, whilst the domestic assist will be back next Thursday. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.